Morning, church.
Hey, that one's live today.
Happy Father's Day, 2025. I've been on vacation all week, and we pulled out after we had baptism last week. We went camping for the week, Chris and I, and we got home Thursday. And we decided we were going to go to the zoo on Friday, so we took Lindsay and Morgan and Shelby and Harvey and Becca and went to the zoo. So needless to say, now it's Saturday, and I've got nothing done for the week. So yesterday we woke up, actually Friday night I sprayed the driveway after we got home, and yesterday we woke up and I don't know what we did, and I said, man, I got a lot to get done, and Chris was stressing, she's got a lot to get done. Her idea of a lot to get done and my idea of a lot to get done are totally opposite ends. Chris is like, I got food to make, your mom and dad are coming tomorrow, the girls and the guys are all coming tomorrow, I got all that, I got to clean the house. I said, man, I got to trim trees, I got to mow yard, I got to get the hammerhead running. So yesterday was a day of hurry up and get it done. Well, I should have went back to bed. I went out, got the hammerhead started out of the barn. I have a cover on it. I haven't had it running for about 3 weeks or 3 months. And so, needless to say, I had to jump start it to get it going. But we got it going, but when you start it, you got to run it with the choke, and it's a whole mess. So I usually just run it up and down the road to charge, to recharge, make sure it's running good. So I did that. I got about halfway down to my sister's house, and I said, do I have a flat tire? Sure don't. I had the cover for the hammerhead that was on it. Evidently, I didn't get it cleared of the tire, and it was wrapped all the way around 150 times around the hammerhead. So I got down, started pulling, burnt my arm on the muffler, and I called Chris. I said, hey, can you bring me a knife? She said, where are you? I said, oh, I'm down the road in the field entrance. My cover to the hammerhead is wrapped around my tire. I got to cut it out. She said, I got stuff I'm doing. So our two agendas were not vibing really well, but she did it anyway. She walked it down, and she saw the mess I had, and she handed me the knife, and she turned around and walked away and didn't say another word. Okay, so then yesterday afternoon, Chris decided she was going to pull weeds in the flower beds, and I told her when we put the landscaping in, there's one thing I guarantee you, I will never pull weeds. I'm not doing it. I'd rather mow it, so if we just leave it grass, I'll take care of it. But if you're going to make it landscaping, you're taking care of the weeds. And so she was pulling weeds, and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make this mowing thing a lot easier. I'm going to trim trees so that I don't have to fall off my mower, lean off my mower, have the seat shut off, get hit in the face while I'm mowing. Okay? You can see I got marked up. My pole cutter is fiberglass, and the fiberglass on the end was rotted. So I was using the pull cord to trim a couple branches, and the metal piece come back and busted me right in the face. And I kept going. I used it as a small tool then and kept going, and pretty soon I saw this blood streaking into my mouth and down my face, so I decided I better go to the house. And I walk in, and I said, hey, my pole broke. And Chris turned around and looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? But she went and got me cold compresses and ice and everything, and I iced it down. And so right now it's not a black eye. I'm hoping it's not going to be, because I go back to work on Tuesday, and I don't want to explain that all week. But the ironic thing is, I was trying to make my life easier on the mower and not get hit in the face. And I got hit in the face. So that's our weekend. Today is going to be nothing but just relaxing. It's going to be pretty cool. But we took some family pictures last night. And that was perfect timing, of course. I get marked up on the face, ruined my beautiful face for the pictures. But let's be honest, the pictures weren't about me anyway. They're about just getting everybody together and taking some pictures that we can have for whatever. They know I'm going to be goofy and my face is going to be weird in pictures anyway, so it doesn't really matter that I was marked up. But I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to get going here. We got a lot to cover today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I am so thankful for all the fathers we have in this congregation, in this community even. Lord, I just lift each and every one of them up to you today, Lord, and I want them to understand the impact they have on the lives of the people that they are placed in charge of, Lord. And Lord, take me out of the equation, shut me down, and make me your mouthpiece, and give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear. Amen. So as this started, I thought, you know, we're going to go to Matthew 4, and we're going to read about when Jesus was traveling around, and Jairus came, and he's a father, and he was just super alarmed that his daughter was not doing well. And that's what I prepared for, and that's where we went, and Brody and I were talking back in Sunday school, and just talking about different things, and God said, "Hey, Matt, I want you to go a different direction." I said, "Oh, okay, God." So this is stuff I've been studying this week, but I didn't think we were going there, but it turns out we are. So Father's Day 2025, I'm going to give you 8 things about fathers that I think are very important. You can call it the 8 points of fatherhood, whatever you want to call it. But the main passage, well, not the main passage, we're going to skip around. Actually, I'm not going to read a lot out of the Bible today because Alan's got them all typed in and ready to go. But I want to start with, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And guys, I think as fathers, I am nowhere comparing us to God as fathers, but I think we can all relate to how God felt right at that moment. Because there are so many times in our lives when we just look at our kids, and number one, we're amazed that they turned out that well. But number two, we look at them and we think, man, they make me happy. And, you know, I've spoke before, and I had those 3 daughters, and so these 2 little dudes that I got now, man, they are cool. They are cool. And I see the same characteristics in Skylar and Nathan that I saw in myself as a young father, because there's a time of uncertainty. There's a time of, I don't know about this fatherhood thing. But then and that's usually during the pregnancy. But then when the babies were born, when the boys were born, man, Skylar was in charge. Skylar was in charge. And Nate was in charge. And there was a point when both those young men had to stand up for their wives before baby and say, no, 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 you're taking care of my wife. My wife. And to see the growth in the way that those guys are handling themselves as fathers is impressive. But that leads right into my first point. Number one, fathers lead families. So many times the family unit gets broke down and we don't have a father present to lead. That makes it hard. Fathers lead families. Genesis, Alan, we're going to start right at the top. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Next one, Alan, Deuteronomy 6, 9. And guys, here's what you're going to get today. You're going to get 36 verses that I think relate to fatherhood. And if you can remember one or two of them and just understand how important our role as fathers is, Deuteronomy 6, 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God and your son and your son's son by keeping all his statutes and commandments, which I command you all the days of your lives. And that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That was a lot. There's a couple words in there I want to call out. You shall bind them on your hand, and you shall write them on your doorsteps. That they should be first and foremost. You know, when somebody builds a new house, occasionally somebody will say, hey, and I think the last one I think we might have done was Dale and Annie's house. We went over as it was being built, and there was, they asked us to pray over the house, and I believe there's some scriptures written on the inside beams, the door frames and whatnot. And that was a really cool experience. But the other word I want us to focus on there is diligently. Anybody know what that means? Jamie, you're the word guru. With purpose and ever, it's nonstop, right? So we have a purpose nonstop as fathers. We have an end goal in mind as fathers. And it's, Dylan, it's not to get your teenage daughter just to 18. Because sometimes it feels like that was my goal. I got to get them to 18. Okay? Our goal as fathers is to teach them and train them in the ways of the Lord. And when do we do that? We do it diligently. We do it when we're laying down. We do it when we're walking. We do it when we're eating. We do it when we're wake up. Okay? Our job as fathers never ends, but we have to lead families. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I'm speaking to fathers here, but that is a message for all of us as Christians. Because there are going to be times when we want to be weak. There are going to be times when we want to be afraid. There's going to be times when we want to live in confusion. Okay? God's telling you, man, you've got me with you all the time. You have nothing to fear. And sometimes as young fathers, as we start into fatherhood, it gets scary when we start thinking about 18 years down the road. Right now the cost of tuition for college is $280 a credit hour. Multiply that times 30 a year. That adds up really quick. You know, I've got to teach so much in such a short amount of time. Am I going to fail? As a father, yes, you're going to fail. Okay? You're going to fall short. Sometimes you're going to feel like you're not enough. But I'm telling you, go back to Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, and work diligently. And speak God's truth all hours of the day. And even if you fail, your kids are going to listen. Anybody ever wonder as a father if your kids are listening? Mike does. I do. I did. I'm here to tell you, my daughters and even Skylar and Nate have said things in their child's very short life so far that I heard myself say. So you know they listen. They listen, people. They listen. Make sure you're diligent about instruction. Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day then who you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a great one to paint on your door frame. That's a great one to put on the wall. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Understand, guys, it is a choice to be a good father. It is a choice to serve the Lord. And I got a lot to get through, so I'm not going to harp. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Guys, if we live by the Father, understand that our kids always have somewhere to go, and they always have somewhere to fall to. So number one is fathers, you must lead your families. Number two, and you can put these in whatever order you want. Fathers protect. I'm a father of three daughters, and my job was to be the lion when they were little. Somebody wronged them at school, man, I was right there. And I can remember one, Sarah will remember this as well. Ryder can remember one parent-teacher conference I had in particular where I had a certain teacher, I'm not going to name names, and it was for Shelby, and Shelby was not a real mathematician. She had to work at it. And by work at it, I mean Dad and Chris and Shelby had to diligently sit at the table every night for 2 hours to work on math homework. And we had to find ways around it, the ways I could explain to her. And I remember one night we sat at the table and Shelby was just a mess. She was in tears. Dad, I'm going to get in trouble because that's not the way I'm supposed to do it. I said, it's math. If you can show your work and show that you got the right answer, who cares whether you missed a step? Okay, so I go to this parent-teacher conference, and this teacher is just harping about, she doesn't do it this way, she doesn't do it this way, this is the way I teach it, this is the way I do it, she's got to do it my way. I said, I asked a simple question. I said, how do you go to Walmart? He said, what do you mean? I said, when you leave your house, how do you go to Walmart? And he told me the directions. I said, well, I wouldn't go that way. I said, here's how I would go. I said, we're still going to the same place. And I don't know if a light bulb went off or if he just got so mad. He or she got so mad that they just gave up. But as Mrs. Mills will attribute, it got real quiet in that room. That conversation never came up again. You know, Shelby's grade went up after that. I'm here to tell you as fathers, you're going to have your own little niche on how you do things. As long as you're centering it right there, I don't care how you word it. Center it on the cross. Center it on being the protector because you are the protector of your family. Deuteronomy 1, 29 and 31. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son all the way that you went until you came to this place. And that's enough said. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. We've already heard that one. That one's going to be repeated several times. Ephesians 6:11-18. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. There are so many things we have to do as fathers. The one thing I challenge you every day is to think about that armor of God. And you know, I teach my girls when we're getting ready to have our first game. I tell them, listen, if you forget your jersey, you're not playing. If you forget your pants, you're not playing. If you don't have your team socks, you're not playing. If you have to borrow somebody's cleats, you're not playing. If you forget your glove, you're not playing. So I teach them. You start at the bottom when you're packing your backpack. And you spikes, socks, pants, belt, jersey, hat if you wear it, helmet, bat, glove. It's no different with the Word of God. It's no different with the armor of God. Every morning, we should be thinking about that armor of God, men, and we should be going through that checklist every single morning and putting it on one by one, because the devil is going to work. He's going to work. You know, and while I was on vacation, I didn't really think about the armor of God a whole lot because, man, I was in the Garden of Eden. I was camping with my wife, and I had no worries. Tuesday is coming. The devil, a.k.a. Coca-Cola, is going to be back in my life. So I'm going to have to go back to preparing every day for that. Number three, fathers are good examples. Do you ever think about that? And guys, I'm not talking just in your home here. When you're out in the community, you're an example. You know, there are several young people here. There are several people here because of an example that one of our fathers have put out in the community. But 1 Kings 15:11, and Asa did it what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father had done. So when we do right things as fathers, guess what our sons and daughters pick up? The right things we do. And then it becomes a generational thing that because I tried to do the right thing as a father, and now Skylar and Nate are trying to do the right thing as a father, and you know, maybe Mitchell at some point tries to do the right thing as a father, their children are going to do the right thing as a father. It's generational. Proverbs 3:32. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. Guys, we want to be in God's confidence. Why? Because that means he wants us with him for eternity. He wants us. I hate to even say the word abomination in the church because, number one, I'm not even sure I'm saying it right. Abomination. Yeah, I'm saying it right. Abomination. It's a word I don't even really understand. It's just an eyesore to God. An abomination is just, I don't even want to be anywhere around it. Okay? We want to be the other. We want to be upright and be held in his confidence. Proverbs 23:22. And this is for kids. This is for young men. This is for old men. It doesn't matter. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. That is biblical. That is instruction for our daily living. So kids, Brody, wow, Brody's not here. I don't care how old you are, kids. There's going to come a time when you've got to listen to your mother and father and don't think your mom's crazy just because she's old. I'm speaking to my three now. Because your mom has been through it. Your mom has been through it. You know, and it's funny how these verses are all pertaining to me, but they do. I learn more from my messages than you'll learn, I guarantee you. Number four, fathers are guides. And I'm not going to go through every passage here. I'll tell you what they are. You can write them down. You can look at them later. But sometimes we have to provide, we have to fall on our experiences to help. You know, those of you that may know me, I've driven, I don't know, probably 200 cars since the time I turned 16. Never paid a ton of money for any given car till Chris and I got a little more financially stable. And Morgan has a car, and she bought it herself. And here 2 weeks ago, she was driving to Columbus to see Mitchell for supper. Those of you that don't know, Mitchell's a chef for the Hilton. So whenever Morgan disappears, I know she's going to Columbus because Mitchell's cooking. Okay. But it was the middle of the afternoon. I was at work, and Morgan calls me and said, my car is broke down. I'm on 71. I said, why in the world are you on 71 at 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon knowing I'm at work? But she was. And there was a few other words in there, and I was not a very good father that day because I was mad. I left Bucyrus, you know, I'm an hour and 20 minutes from where she was. She was halfway between 95 and 61. And by that time, Chris had got there, had her flashers on in the big rig. Mitchell had got there, drove up from Columbus. It was behind the expedition with his flashers on. I pulled up and pulled in front of Morgan's car. But you know the thing about those 71 is? Those semis don't care. They don't slow down. They don't get over. They don't whatever. The cars were shaking. They were going so fast. So my point to the story was we don't always have, and your kids have to rely on your experiences, and I've drove some clunkers in my life. And not that Morgan's car is a clunker, but it was just spewing antifreeze. You know, and I'm not a mechanic. I like to think I can fix things, but I'm not really a mechanic. Thankfully, God knows I'm not a mechanic. And when I pulled up with my gallon of antifreeze and put it in Morgan's car, and had Mitchell turn it on and poured it in Morgan's car, it shot out and hit me in the face, and I knew right where the leak was coming from. Because it was the hose right out front. It was the hose right out front, and it was like somebody had taken a utility knife and sliced it. It's just because the car is, 11 years old, and it's probably the original hose, and it was just... And it just spewed right out at me. So, points of the story was we got that fixed. But it was because God had providence over what I was doing. It wasn't because I'm smart. It wasn't because I'm a great father. It was because God showed me where that was by having it hit me right in the face. Okay, so we got it fixed. So, fathers are guides. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. As a father, that's what we want to get out of our children. We want them to offer freely and joyously back to God. That's our role. Okay, we're not going to read the rest of those. I think that one speaks for itself. But Proverbs 3:11-12. Proverbs 4:1-4. Proverbs 10:9. Alan, pull that one up. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Fathers, we have our integrity and our word to fall on. Man. If we're teaching falsely, we're going to be found out. If we're going to teach falsely, we're going to be found out. So Proverbs 17:27, Ephesians 6:4. Colossians 3:21, 2 Timothy 3:15-17, Proverbs 20:7, and Proverbs 22:6. Those are all examples of fathers are being guides. Number five, here's the four I really want to get to. Fathers provide stability. And the one I'm going to use for that is Ephesians 5:25-37. Yeah. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and be without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What a great passage. Because sometimes in marriage, we don't understand that it's the same as the marriage of the church. I should love my wife and respect my wife the way God loves the church. And how does he love the church? He loves the church that much that he sent his son to die on the cross. So the other verses in there are Malachi 4:6, 1 Corinthians 16:13 through 14, and 1 Timothy 3:2 through 5, and that is fathers provide stability. Number 6, fathers are loving. There's one passage here, and it's one passage we're going to use, Hebrews 12:7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And when we hear discipline, we hear it in the school setting, we hear it in the work setting, we hear it at home. We don't like the word discipline. I like the word discipline because what does it mean? It means I'm not going to do so many stupid things because I have discipline. Because I know if I do this, I'm going to do this. Or if I do this, the result is going to be this. So we have to instill discipline in our children, in our families, in our communities. That's our biggest downfall right now. We have no discipline. I'm not talking about taking the community out and spanking them. I'm talking we don't have the discipline to know. We have not done our job training people to know that, man, when I do this, this is the result, and then this is the outcome. Sometimes we can't think past our nose. We have to get over that. But we have to love through discipline. Number 7, fathers take pride in their kids. And I'm telling you, we've kind of already hit on this. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. But my three daughters make me very proud. Even when they do dumb stuff. Because they learned the dumb stuff from me. And I learned it from my father and my grandfather. You know, all I could think about yesterday when I got hit in the face was, man, I'm just like my grandfather. I mean, this dude cut his finger off in a corn sheller. He cut his arterial, he had an arterial bleed in his leg with a chainsaw. He was an accident waiting to happen, but you know what he's doing? He was working hard to make his family better the whole time he was doing it. And I am no different from him, and I'm thankful for that. My dad's the same way. He'd bang his head all the time, but you know, my grandfather is who I am. I'll come in and be bleeding from the hand. I didn't even know I banged it. And my grandfather was that way. So we take pride in our kids. And I know that somewhere my grandpa is looking down and saying, you know, Matt turned out pretty good. He's just like me. And I think that's pretty cool. Because my brother is not. My sister is not. My cousins are not. I'm the grunt labor that gets the stuff done, and sometimes might lose an arm doing it, and I don't care. That's pretty cool. That's the examples we're setting. But we all take pride in our kids. Psalm 127, 3 through 5, we'll use that one today. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Understand that, and I'm going to use Beckett and Harvey as an example. Those dudes, God knew who they were before they were. And that's what makes me really proud about my kids, my grandkids. Doesn't matter. Psalms 128, 3 through 4 is another great one. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Proverbs 23, 24. And those are all great passages. Those are all great passages. Number 8, I'm getting there, I promise. I'll be done by 11:30. Sorry. Number 8, fathers reflect God's unique love. Psalms 103:13 is a passage we're going to use today. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We must show compassion to our kids. And that's what upset me so much about that car dealing with Morgan, because I did not show her much compassion. I did not ask her if she was all right. I said, what in the world were you doing driving on 71 when you know I'm an hour and a half away? Okay, so I make mistakes. I learn from them. We'll figure it out. The other passages you can use are 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, Matthew 7, 9 through 11, and Luke 15, 20 to 24. I'm going to finish with this. Fathers, understand that you play a very vital role in what goes on. It's not mom's way, always, because we muck it up. Because mom's way would be nice and clean and always just, there wouldn't be any issues, right? I have to teach through example of how my failures have affected me. The one thing I want you to take is they're always watching. They're always listening, even when you think they aren't. So since you had to sit through that, I do have some door prizes here for fathers. You all should receive, also have received a devotional, a one-minute devotional guideline book. If you did not get one of those, see myself or see Jenny Gray, and we will make sure you get one. Brody came up with some categories today. It's all his fault if you don't win a gift card. Who here has the oldest child, living child? Who here has been a father the longest? Where's Burlton? Burlton, how old? 56. Anybody got one more than that? Dale says 57. He's trying to cut you a break, Dale. So, Burlton, you got Home Depot, Lowe's, Amazon, Under Armour, Texas Roadhouse, or BW3s? Lowe's, he was quick. I'll get you. I'll bring it to you. Youngest child, Nate's not here, so Colin's not here either. Skyler, what do you want? Roadhouse. Who drove the longest distance? Skyler, you're out. You only get to win once. Dylan, how far did you drive? Oh, Paul is on it. Anybody further than Paul? Paul, what do you want? Home Depot, Amazon, Under Armour, or B-Dubs? Amazon. Got it. Who drove the shortest distance? Tim, how far to drive? 0.75? Yeah. Anybody closer than Tim? He lives over by the Iberia Farm Firehouse. What's your choice, sir? Home Depot, Under Armour, or B-Dubs? All right. Let's go father with the most here today. Levi has 5. Anybody touch that? Home Depot, Under Armour. Home Depot. And lastly, father with the most future fathers. I'm out. Doug's got 2. Mr. Black's got 3. Mike's got 3. All right, we're going to go tiebreaker. Anybody else got 3? We're going to go tiebreaker, and this is one Brody came up with. Who is the father that their kids live the furthest distance from them? I think I know the answer to this one. Kent? Braden, where's he? Yeah, he's pretty local. Under Armour it is for Mike. All right. You know, these are all neat. I enjoy these categories because I like to know more about where we're at as fathers. You know, we could have went a number of different ways, but those are the categories we chose. Fathers, I want you to take this day, and I want you to enjoy it. You got nothing on your plate, as per me. You got nothing on your plate today. Wives, you're in charge today. Fathers, go home and sit out on the porch with a Pepsi or whatever you want and enjoy it. My challenge to you fathers is the other 364 days, we got to lead. We got to lead. And I challenge you to take some of those 36 passages and apply those to your lives today. But the biggest one I want you to put on is I want you to put on that armor of God every single day. Because if we're mentally putting that on every single day, the devil is not going to get to us. All right, let's close in prayer and then we'll finish up. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you. And Lord, I ask your blessing on every father here, every father present, every father that's not present. Lord, I want us to understand what an impact we have on the lives of not only our immediate families, but the community, the nation. We have to be examples in everything that we do, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to bless all these fathers and use them to create future generations of fathers and kids that are rooted in your word, rooted in your beliefs and what you have instructed us as fathers to do, Lord. We love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you have any prayer needs, if you have any... Sorry, I just shut it off. Anything that you need prayer for, Les and I will be here. I saw Jesse left. So Les and I will be here, and we'd love to pray with you about anything. All right?